And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your co-host, Nick Schwab. It's my co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
A lot more lucid, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm very drunk. I'm just going to warn you now. Like, during our pre-show, I went through. So we are in for a ride right here. Let's kick it off right off the bat. Neither of us watched National.
Because why would we? That's something we did because we were both medicated.
Yes, we were both medicated. And I, like, threw it on you, which is, like, maybe my new favorite thing to do on the show is
suggest insane subject ideas on the show.
Let's watch Syracuse versus Virginia Tech from 1987.
why not?
And then, like, neither of us. Well, then one of us does it, and then one doesn't. You couldn't see my quotes there, but there were air quotes. But Dan, as we start this recording, I want to let the people know we have the All-Star game in the background. I don't know if you do. I have the All-Star.
Well, sure. I mean, you always have to have various sporting events.
Well, Dan, right now we've got Mike Fulton-Nuevich versus Aaron Judge. You can't beat that.
So many famous names that everybody's heard of.
They keep showing a Dodger in, like, right field, and I keep, like, is that Gary Sheffield? Like, the guy's too young to me, so I don't know.
Oh, that's, okay, that's probably Pugue? Is that his name?
Pugue. Pig.
Pugue.
Pugue.
I like him because he's weird. He's got that Manny Ramirez thing, where he has personality.
I'm sorry, Dan. It is, in fact, former Braves legend of Matt Kemp.
That guy's still alive?
Yeah, he's in the All-Star game.
God, I thought I heard people saying he was washed up like 5 years ago. He's in All-Star game,
well,
huh?
It does kind of show the truth in baseball, though, where, like, if you're on a really good hitting team and you're, like, wherever, a decent hitter, you could probably have an All-Star season in a good lineup.
Yeah, just because, like, somebody's...
Yeah. And that's not even a knock on Matt Kemp. It's just, like... Like, you were once good, you're probably really smart in the batter's box, and, like, when you have a lot of other good players in front of you, you're probably going to have a good season.
Yeah, and you're going to have plenty of opportunities to get your pitches.
And also, a stuff at you, Nick Markakis, also an NL All-Star.
How is he still alive?
Dan, I don't want to look up his stats, because I don't understand advanced stats, but he's having, like, one of the greatest seasons. Not, like, an MVP season, but, like, one of the better seasons, like, ever.
He's at least 75 years old.
He, there's a belief with Atlanta Braves fans that he should hit leadoff. His own base percentage is that good. I believe he's hitting cleanup right now.
He's 500 years old.
Well, but it's wild when, like, Freddie Freeman has someone good in front of him, and then you look good behind him. Wild what happens when you have guys.
Well, maybe it's just all these guys are just happy that they're not at Turner Field anymore. They're playing in front of good Christian people. Mm-hmm. You know, in God's country, Cobb County.
You know, which is weird, though. Since SunTrust is open, though, I think the crowd has actually been, like, a little more diverse.
So you mean, like, Cobb County's going to be furious at this stadium for bringing all of these into their neighborhoods?
They're building a MARTA line to SunTrust. Like, it's have, like, what I, this is a scoop from an Uber driver, so you know it's true. He said, secretly, the state of Georgia's already taken over MARTA. For Atlanta, and already taken over Atlanta public transportation, and SunTrust will have a direct line pretty soon. So you know what MARTA stands for, Metropolitan Atlanta Transit Republican Authority. So
I don't understand what that means.
Oh, well, there's a race. Okay, in Atlanta, there's a few racists left here. How many people voted for the white lady? The 40,000. Racist left, white people left here. I have a joke about MARTA where it's moving Africans rapidly.
MARTA stands. Well, that doesn't sound very fun.
It's not.
I guess it passes.
Well, I think, Dan, one of the greatest traits, though, of modern Southern writing is taking public transport acronyms and turning them into something racist.
Sure.
You know? I can't think of any right now because I'm not that good of a racist, but if I was better... Dan,
it's always good when you're like when your ideology is built around the idea of, like, being in a car makes you a rugged individualist.
Oh, Dan!
If those roads are just magically got there.
Coming up next in the MLB All Star Game: Matt Kemp, Bryce Harper, Nick Markakis. Talk about a loser sandwich, or a winner sandwich in which two pieces a loser, I guess.
Bryce Harper, what a hero that man is. Mm-hmm. Is he still considered good, or is he, like?
I think floundered. He is still considered very good if his team is trash there.
Well, it's in Washington, D.C., yeah. So
but then,
it fits in.
Yeah, and I think to bring us back on topic, look for something to talk about. Speak about trash. Have you paid attention to any of the media days that have happened this week thus far?
I did see where, like, Tom Herman got a column mixed up with a quarterback at Oklahoma. That did make me laugh.
I didn't see that. I saw where, like, Jimbo Fisher mentioned Auburn, like, 40 times in an interview for some reason.
Strange.
It was really weird. Like, the Auburn beat writer was, like, this is, like, really weird. Like, we don't know why he's, like, maybe because he beat Auburn once. It's the only SEC team FSU ever.
He used to coach at Auburn.
Did he? Okay.
I thought he was an offensive coordinator at Auburn.
Was it? Well, I'll fact check. But was there anything else so from any of these that jumped out to you?
I
think Jimbo Fish was at Alabama. I think that's
no. He was definitely at LSU. He was definitely at LSU because that's where he was. That's where he was Nick Saban's offensive coordinator.
He was. You know what? Dan, for five
but
years.
I think he was with Terry Bowden, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was the quarterbacks coach from '93 to '98. Left to be the offensive coordinator at Cincinnati in '99. Went to LSU in 2000, and that's kind of probably when it's kicked off.
Yeah, he was definitely with Nick Saban. I think he actually stayed there long enough to be with Les Miles for a little bit, wasn't he?
I will reopen the wiki page. Yeah, he was there through 2006, left for FSU in 07, and that's probably when he was more or less promised a job, I would assume.
Well, yeah, he came in as, like, coordinator and head coach and wait.
Yeah. Oh, Dan! By the way, I forgot to tell you this pre-show. I had an Uber driver who claimed to play for Bobby Bowden in the 70s.
That's an old man to be driving an Uber.
Well, I want to fact check this, and this will get into our next segment.
Is this guy supplementing his Social Security?
Well,
driving you around?
He said he played for FSU in 77. Okay. That would have been like early Bowden, right?
I believe Bowden's first year was 76.
Okay, that's what he said, 76, 77, kind of that area. And he said... His one quote about Bobby Bowden was, "My wife thought he was the nicest man in the world, and I said, 'You're full of bullshit. This is the meanest man I've ever met in my life.'" So I kind of buy that he did play for, and like he looked like a guy who probably would.
He had a breakaway T-shirt on.
Yeah, he had a breakaway T-shirt. No, he wasn't like bigger, but like he looked like a guy who would have played football. So I bought his story. And he said Bobby Bowden was, which is like not something an outsider would say. Do you think of Bobby Bowden as a player's coach?
No, you don't. He was a psycho.
Well, no, but like I think a casual fan would think of Bobby Bowden like a guy
okay,
who lets
maybe.
Player, yeah, lets his players get away with.
Well, like he lets them get away with like rape and stuff, but not like not showing up to practice on time.
Not important stuff,
you know.
But then this brings us into something, and maybe a recurring segment. I would like to start a little something. I was going to call it Dan Law, but I think the Dan Court. Actually, the Pump Court, because I'm the judge here.
Wait, I'm the judge, ain't I?
No, you would be the defense of prosecutors. I'll be the judge to make the decision. You'll be the man making. This is how I believe a courtroom works. Because I don't have to talk as much like a real judge.
Okay. We'll workshop this name.
Yeah, and we're definitely not ripping this off from the popular Barstool podcast, Lights, Camera, Podcast. This is not a ripoff of Court of Trill, if you know what that means.
This seems more like a ripoff of Judge John Hodgman, but we'll figure this, you know, we'll figure out exactly who we're stealing
from
first.
Dan, it's 2018, we're all ripping. But today, Dan, Auburn has a series going on their Twitter where they're kind of ripping off Stranger Things. It's like a weird stories in Auburn history. Auburn claimed, the 1960 team?
I believe it was 1956, if I remember the video you sent me correctly.
Back when, like, racism was, like, popular. They claimed Auburn ended the single wing, correct? Because they shut out they played a season opener versus Tennessee. It was the only national televised game in the nation. Think about how wild that is by today's standards. And I think Tennessee had a, like, negative 30 yards. So Auburn claims this is the game that ended the single wing. But, Dan, I sent you a tweet about this. You got kind of fired up as an option boy. So in my courtroom, tell me why Auburn was wrong for claiming that he ended in 1959.
Yeah, well, it's, for one thing, Tennessee kept running the single wing for another 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's that's my lead bit of evidence. Did not actually stop Tennessee from running.
1958, Auburn had a shutout versus Tennessee. This is what Auburn considers the end of the
season. Yeah, Tennessee kept running the single
wing, mind you. Single wing in the option. If you don't know what that is, why are you listening to the show?
Yeah, the single wing, just to shorten things up, it was the dominant offense in the early part of the 20th
century. Okay, well, Dan, this out for me. Explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old.
Okay, so what's the basic thing about the
single
wing?
I understand I formation. So what are we doing?
You line up in an I. You're straight behind each other.
Okay.
The main thing about a single wing is that the line is unbalanced.
Okay.
So
you're moving center, a tight end or something.
The center is not in the center of the field. You actually put both guards side by side, and the center is to the left of the double guards.
Okay.
And the center does hike, and the main thing, just to make it short, the big two things about single wing is that the line is unbalanced, and the big thing about every time you hike the ball, and you hike it, it's what we would now call a shotgun. Is you have four guys in the backfield, and you never really know who's getting it hyped to them. So it's like part of the offense is like who's getting the snap. There's that misdirection. Single wing is all misdirection. It's like who's getting the ball hyped to them, and then once that guy takes the hike or takes the snap, you have all kinds of little play fakes and spins and pivots and handoffs and fake handoffs and sweeps and, you know, maybe throw a pass five times a game.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis of, like, the single wing. It's an offense built around misdirection.
Stan, I know you're a big Pokemon, right?
I know nothing about Pokemon.
Okay.
Pokemon were banned in my school.
Well, for Pokemon cards were banned in my school. But for people that are listening to Pokemon, the single wing would essentially have been, like, it was the the first stage of an evolutionary process. Of, like, let's say a three-step process. The single wing would have been, like, your caterpillar. It would have been your weakest of the wings. Is that fair to say, Dan?
Well, I think the biggest thing about the single wing was that what came before it is you literally just hiked a ball and ran straight forward.
Yeah.
And then maybe the guy takes the hike and sprints to his right or his left, and everybody blocks ahead of it. And that was the extent of offense. And what the single wing did was add all these play fakes in and let you throw the ball a little bit better than you could before. The single wing, the real death of the single wing, Auburn was trying to take credit for killing the single wing.
Yeah.
The real death of the single wing came in the 1940 NFL championship. If you wanted to make the argument that Auburn made everybody stop running the single wing, well, they didn't even make their opponents stop running it. But when people started moving away from the single wing, the game that made everybody around the country, whether you were a college coach or you were a high school coach, is when everybody heard about the NFL champ, which was on the radio, and it was between the Redskins and the Bears. The Bears fight song still has a reference to this game because they referenced the T formation. That was the game where the Bears switched to the T formation and won 72-0 and just destroyed Washington. And not only did they destroy them, like they just ran and did everything they wanted to offensively, but they had like four pick sixes in that game.
Yeah.
So they completely shut down the single wing, totally and utterly.
So you're saying though,
and after that, the single wing became an offense.
Overturned. I'm the judge. You can sit back down, Dan Locke.
Okay.
So what you're saying is though, that one of the most honest programs in the history of the SEC is lying. Or maybe stretching the facts.
More often than not, they don't really know what they're talking about.
Are you saying
because
that
it's a social media intern who doesn't really
know. Okay. Hey, let's objection. Actually, we should have got a prosecutor for. Maybe next time we'll have a prosecutor for the situation. But as a judge, Dan, I'm gonna overrule you and say Auburn probably has paid for social media.
Fair
is
enough.
A real job. Okay,
that's true.
Social, that joke worked in 2007. We're like 11 years
old. Okay, fair enough. But I'm just saying,
Stan, that was a decently well put together video. Regardless,
the producer who knows how to make a good video is not necessarily the person who's also like big into football history.
Okay,
because it's probably like a 30-year-old with a lot of like video production.
Yeah, and it was a game from 19. But to be fair, Auburn did hold Tennessee. Like, that's a true fact.
It's a fucking great game by Auburn's defense. It absolutely is.
Like, let's not take that away from the boys at Auburn there. Like, they did hold a team to negative total yards. Decently impressive, regardless of what, especially a team like Tennessee, that is decently impressive. I'm just realizing how bad of an Auburn fanboy I am. I may have to resign this.
Like the biggest issue with what, like the Tennessee was one of the last major programs still running at that point. And the reason why they were running it is because like Colonel Nyland had installed that offense. He was considered one of the fathers of this. He's one of the most, you know, I mean, he's still this revered figure in Tennessee. And like, even after he retired, it's like, well, you can't, this was the offense Colonel Nyland, you know, innovated. Like we have to, we can't move away from that. This, it was almost like Tennessee was almost like what Alabama was after Bear Bryant retired, mm-hmm. where it's like for the next 20 years, you couldn't get a job at Alabama unless you could say, I played for the Bear. I coached with the Bear.
I sucked the Bear's dick.
Like, or like Bear Bryant came to me in a dream and like anointed me the next coach.
Well,
like you had to have a tie to Bear Bryant.
Episode where like Mr. Burns flies in through the window for Smithers. That's what like had to happen to coach Alabama. Like you had to have a wet dream about
yes.
coach Alabama.
And Tennessee had a very similar thing about Colonel Nyland for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they were still running this like antiquated offense that at that point very few colleges. There were still a lot of high schools still running the single wing, but. You know,
what's the modern, like, do you have a modern, like, would you say that's kind of like FSU running pro style in, like, 2017?
Is that the biggest comparison I could make was, like, in the 90s when Florida showed up with Spurrier, and he's throwing the ball all over the field, running, like, a pro style passing attack.
Do you have a comparison that's, say, generations?
Okay, when
Oklahoma, like, was it like when Nebraska was still running?
When Oklahoma showed up in the Big 12 and like everybody in that league ran the I formation and ran like ISO and lead draw and, you know, maybe we'll mix it up with a power. And then like Oklahoma showed up in a shotgun four wide throwing the ball 60 times a game. And it's just like nobody was ready for that.
Yeah, Oklahoma was essentially like, especially like in that era of the odds, was we're just going to do offense. We don't care.
Yeah, like their thing was we're just going to run the air raid and without the no huddle at that point, so that we could still have a good defense.
Yeah,
and then meanwhile, you know Texas Tech, you know Mike Leach did such a good job at Oklahoma that he immediately got hired at Texas Tech, and they became like full on no huddle, you know,
air raid
football,
fucking bullshit.
And between Oklahoma and Texas Tech, eventually every team in the Big 12 started running. Some variation of spread offense.
But Dan, can you think of a situation, like, I feel the Nebraska comparison, and I know that hurts your heart, Dan. You're option bull. But would you say that, like, the Tennessee single wing situation here, was that, like, the equivalent of, like, Nebraska kind of low, like, Miami low-key kind of killing the option for major programs? Right or wrong? It doesn't have to be, like, that was the right move by these programs, but was that what happened?
Maybe. I just thought of a better modern example.
Mm-hmm.
LSU under Les Miles, like he was like the last guy who was still like, we're going to line up in an I formation and run physical power football 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and we're going to get great players to run it, and great offensive linemen. I'm even starting to sound like Les Miles.
I'm sorry,
Miles
you hear
now.
My gavel? Sir.
I'm starting to talk like Les Miles. We've got powerful men on the field.
Would not a better example be the spread offense ripping Nick Saban's asshole apart and then him going, maybe I should use some lube here next time and change up our offense a little bit?
Yeah, basically I'm just going to go recruit a bunch of Johnny Manziels.
Yeah.
Because Johnny Manziel fucked my world up.
Yeah, because like, it wasn't when Manziel beat him, it's when like Urban Meyer. Is that fair to say?
Well, because Manziel thing, I think a lot of those guys in that coaching staff were like, well, that's kind of a fluke. He just sort of ran around.
Well, like Manziel, like, and like
he just sort of ran around in circles.
Yeah. Manziel, though,
like,
was
ducks.
But Manziel, like, was a special. I think.
But like when Ohio State just like gutted them like a fish, like that was different.
Would you say that's when like Saban maybe realized like it was like, would that be like maybe a better modern example of like a program having their offense proven to kind of like be bullshit?
I think that's a close one. Like the whatever that thing was, like 60 yards through the heart of the South, was that the call?
Yeah, but like the Saban offense at that point was like pro style, single back, we're gonna ISO every
No, it was all, they were all inside zone. Which is inside zone over and over again.
Dan, as a guy who only knows offense through Madden, that's the same thing.
You ran zone blocking in high school, sir.
I played defense. I did not, they would not let me play offense because I did not understand how. Well,
okay.
A quick aside here. The judge, bailiff, don't take this down. Tell the court reporter over there to take that down. Thank you, sweetheart. You're looking great.
So you're a Southern judge. Quick aside,
when I played E-team, I think I played offensive guard, I want to say, because I was quick enough to pull. But I would have asked the kid next to me every time, I was like, do I go left or right? What do I do? Because I just, offense was like, I wasn't going to memorize. I don't understand how offense works.
I want you to sit down for an episode with Darren Weber so he can have flashbacks to being the tackle who had to tell the guard what to do.
Is that our Big 12 correspondent?
That's Big 12 correspondent Darren Weber, who was the left tackle on the best offensive line in the state of North Carolina.
As a guy who went to his coach and was like, I can play defense. Like, I'm not saying I'm dumb because I'm quick on my feet. I can play defense because that's where you put smart people. I can't memorize stuff. I'm not a monkey. I'm not an ape. I can't memorize
Offensive line's the smartest kids on the team.
No, well, Dan, that's where you're wrong. And that's where you're wrong with the Tennessee. Because the toughest part, football, is playing defense. Because you don't know what you're going to do. You got to react.
Defensive line is usually the dumbest kids on the
team. You got to think quick on your feet. Well, Dan, that's you being a North Carolina racist. This is why I'm a little more woke than you here.
Like, cornerbacks have to be smart.
No.
Safeties have to be smart.
Defensive
linebackers
ends.
Have to be smart.
Defensive ends is just run
over there and go get the guy.
This is where you're wrong. Defensive linemen have to be the smartest guy on the field because they're literally the first player on the field that has to, especially like let's say a guy who plays shade. And did I play shade in high school? Let's say a guy who's play on the one technique most of the time. Do they have to be the smartest guy on the field? Yes, because they're the first one that has to. And what is smartness? The one who can think the quickest.
I know a lot of offensive linemen who will call bull.
Well, damn, that's because offensive linemen mostly ran up against black guys who were smarter than them. That's the first issue. The second issue is they ran up against guys who were way more athletic, who didn't care about learning plays because they weren't like nerds. Because offensive linemen are nerds. Like, believe that, player.
Well, not necessarily in high school. There's a lot of times who play offensive line in high school who are just like really, really strong. And your offense is just, hey, really strong guy, go knock that guy over.
Dan, you're not a breaking news. You're not a King of the Hill thing.
I am.
Okay, you remember the episode where Bobby and Connie held hands over a hotel bed?
I do not.
Okay. Well, there's an episode where Con essentially is paying Bobby to not date his daughter. And he starts renting out a hotel room for them to hold hands, because that's what good Southern boys do in the sixth grade with their girlfriend. My best friend, who dates a Laotian girl, just sent me a picture of them in a hotel room holding hands, and this is the happiest I've ever been in my life right now. That's a little breaking news there, but that is the best, like, the fact, Dan, that my best friend in the world would date a Laotian person and that I would be a King of the Hill fan was amazing. But the fact that they recreated that most
hit me hard. With you.
That's a little real reaction. That's like not me playing the Mitch Pump character. It's a little realism. Little Donald Trump realism here. I'm touched. No. Yeah.
We're on Auburn being filthy liars. Yeah. We're going to hell when they die.
Well, Dan, I think my ruling here though is okay. Tennessee kept running. Auburn did twist the truth. That's what you do with history though, because winners write the history books. Is that fair?
Could you really call? I mean, how many titles does Auburn have?
I think more.
I don't think they did
more recently.
I would be willing to bet money that
colored people. I'll look this up.
I would say even if you did that, I still Tennessee more
since
SEC
the
titles.
Millennium.
I would say if you went by conference titles, Tennessee even in post segregation, Tennessee has more SEC titles.
I'll look that up.
I would say national championships. They're even.
Well, not since the Millennium.
Not since the Millennium, but since segregation ended, they're even.
one was.
I believe Tennessee played for more.
Yeah. Hey, quick note, judge's note here for stenographer. Hey, Wikipedia, get better about telling me who won the most SEC titles. We're out to count. like a nerd, like an offensive line. But you know what I do respect, Dan? If you were to look up the SEC on Wikipedia right now, it has a breakdown of where the Eastern and Western Division teams are, but like doesn't zoom in. So it's the whole map of the United States with like 20 names next to me. I'm gonna send you this picture on Twitter because it's very funny, and I want you to enjoy this really quick. Because maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen on Twitter. Maybe besides wrestling Wikipedia might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Wrestling Wikipedia ain't nothing to fuck with. Those people are legit crazy.
I respect the fact that those people explain wrestling every time.
Every single article. Like, you can tell that there's a major argument always going on at Wikipedia over their wrestling coverage. Because obviously you have one dude who is the most obsessive wrestling fan in the history of the world, and you have another editor who absolutely hates wrestling to the core of his being, and the only reason he'll tolerate these wrestling articles, which are endless, there's an endless number of wrestling articles.
It's like amazing compared to anything else throughout his, like, especially in pop culture history. Like, right, like if you want to look up WCW World War III 97, there's a goddamn Wikipedia page, and it used to have explanations every single match, Dan.
Like, there's more articles about professional wrestling on Wikipedia than on World War I.
Mm-hmm.
It is more historically significant to the editors, to some editor of Wikipedia than World War I.
But one editor
in there is just like, I'm going to make sure every single time we write about wrestling, we're going to say it's fake.
Dan, quick thing. In the modern SEC championship era, which I think is fair, put the cap at 12 at Florida, 11 Alabama, 6 Auburn, 6 Georgia. Where's Tennessee at 5? Auburn is the better program by law. That is my ruling. I want you to check the link I just sent, the screenshot. Well, I also want to point out Missouri has 2 SEC championship appearances. South Carolina has 1. This is Mississippi State.
Oh, how many does Ole Miss have? None, right?
Oh,
that is the most ridiculous map I've ever seen. It's just a bunch of words on top of each other.
And it's the whole map. Like, you're specifically talking about the southeastern region of America. Like, this isn't even, like, just a football thing. Like, for corporations, whatever. Like, throughout most of, like, modern American capitalism, the southeast has been a region. Right, Dan? Is that fair to say?
Fair enough.
And what you did with this Wikipedia map was the laziest effort in the history of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dan. I was talking appearances when I talked earlier. Auburn has 3 SEC title wins compared to Tennessee's 2. So there we go.
Tennessee has had more Mannings quarterback there.
That is, have they? No, they Ole Miss has. Unless Peyton Manning
compared to Auburn.
No, at Tennessee.
Tennessee's had more Mannings quarterback
than
Auburn.
Oh, they have. You are.
You've not had any.
That we know about.
Sure.
Are we sure Cam Newton wasn't a Manning? Do we know?
Are we sure that Archie didn't, you know? Nah, we know who Cam Newton's dad is. That guy helped make a lot of money for
Cam. The guy who took the bag, yeah. Here, if you will. So, Dan, my ruling on this topic, we're going to keep, not the topic, but on the segment, we are going to keep. Maybe if we get a third person to come in and maybe play prosecutor or defendant or however a courtroom. Mm. My ruling here is, did Auburn lie a little bit? Yes. Auburn did stretch the truth. But did that defense probably help kind of kill the single wing in college football? Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. And to most of the general public, yeah.
Well, the general public didn't really matter. So I would,
well, it was the
my,
only,
my appeal
was
already,
literally the only football game in the
I mean, but like the general public didn't decide what offense.
Well, did they not, Dan? And you're all, and I'm the judge. That's my ruling. Ruling's in favor of Auburn. Am I biased? Yeah.
I'm just going to add this as part of my amicus brief. I don't know what an amicus brief is.
I believe it's an Atticus. Atticus Fish brief.
But my granddad played high school football in the 50s, and they were making fun of single wing teams in 1954. They go, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. Why aren't they in the T formation like real football?
Well, Dan, my grandfather fought in the Korean War. A winning war.
So did my dad. Well, my dad's side granddad did. So okay, you're not special.
So, but I will say, and by fault, I mean he played baseball to entertain the troops in the Korean
War. My granddad was a cook stationed in Korea.
I love both of our families. I'm sorry. We're both oh no, we're not gonna fight. Like we're both.
I mean, he was over there. He was behind. I mean,
oh,
he was
mine.
In the,
mine never.
He was at the you know the back of the line, but he was there. Like God, the shit was God, happening around him.
And this isn't a knock against my grandpa because I respect my grandfather 100%. He's dead now, but like he never left America. He went to like California to play baseball to entertain the boys.
Oh, my granddad was in Korea.
Yeah, my grandfather
never
had
a cook.
But I would trust my grandfather more, Dan, because also he was a professional baseball player.
But my okay, here's why you should trust my granddad. At the time, shithead America loved Douglas MacArthur and turned on Harry Truman for firing him.
Mm-hmm.
My granddad told me, and my granddad was not what I would call bleeding heart,
mm-hmm.
but my granddad told me point blank, if Douglas MacArthur would have been allowed to stay in charge of the army, everybody would have died and the whole country would have been blown up. That man was psychotic.
Okay.
And he said Harry Truman was the best president in American history.
Oh, my grandfather argued FDR was who was right?
My granddad said FDR saved his, or Truman saved his life.
Oh, my. Because
if Truman hadn't pulled back on MacArthur, he said I'd be dead.
My grandfather was a hardcore Democrat until Obama was, so let's leave it at that.
My granddad did not like black people until he was on dialysis, and he became friends with the guy who was always next to him. And then
there you
he
go.
Said, I shouldn't have said certain words.
How, Dan, so we've ended the court segment. The ruling was Auburn wins, Dan loses, because you root for NC State, and Auburn's better than NC State.
We got more quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, but do you have a Cam Newton?
I mean, Philip Rivers has had a better career than Cam Newton.
How many more Super Bowls is he? How many more MVPs?
Oh, how many Super Bowls does Cam Newton have? Count
how
those for
me.
To?
How many has he been to?
Okay, he's in the Cam Newton's in the NFC. It's easy.
He's in the AFC.
Philip Rivers had to go through Tom Brady every year.
Well,
that's way
Cam
harder.
Newton had to, who'd they go through in the NFC that year? They go through like
some shit team of losers,
like the Giants. The Giants who beat New England multiple times.
Who went 9-7 both years they did that.
Okay, Dan, here's the bigger point. Eli Manning was in SEC West, and he beat Tom Brady more. So,
well, we weren't talking about Eli. Like,
well, we were.
Ole
Miss.
We
were at heart, Dan, because it was an
we
SEC
were you were talking about Cam Newton. And Philip Rivers is a demonstrably better quarterback than Cam
Newton. Has he won an MVP?
Yeah, I think he has.
No, I don't think.
I think he's won a passing title or five.
I don't think he's won an MVP. I'll look this up, but I think you were.
He's put up crazy numbers with shitty coaches.
Well, Cam Newton has won an MVP in maybe one of the most racist football leagues in all of them before the XFL launches.
Well, do you know how many kids Philip Rivers has made?
How many kids has Cam Newton made?
Philip Rivers has like 19 kids. He's one of those quiverful people.
That's right. Well, I know Cam Newton, though, feeds hundreds of kids every year at Thanksgiving.
So does Philip Rivers. They're all his.
Oh, like, what was the thing with I don't think Philip Rivers has ever won anything.
Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl ring, doesn't he?
He has one.
Okay. NC State's got more Super Bowl rings than all of Auburn combined.
Ooh.
All of Auburn quarterbacks.
Oh, Auburn quarterbacks? Yeah, because Jason Campbell never won.
Roman Gabriel went to a bunch of Pro Bowls in the 60s. Torrey Holt's a better wide receiver than anybody Auburn's ever produced.
I don't know if any Auburn guys really ever won this. But that's the thing with Auburn, Dan. Once you win at Auburn, you don't know.
Mario Edwards is a better defensive end than anybody that Auburn ever produced.
How dare you insult you? Yeah, you know, going through...
That's the thing about the history of NC State. Our best players who played at NC State, like if you put them on an all-star team, they're better than like almost everybody else.
Yeah,
we just never have a full team at any point.
They don't peak. Well, I think that says a little bit more about NC State, where they don't really peak at NC State. They tend to peak.
No, all those guys had great careers in college. It's just they were always like, that's it.
Did Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson was like the ACC Player of the Year like twice.
Oh, was it? Because I have a column, and I don't actually, but I have one from memory in front of me in my head, Dan. It says Russell Wilson shouldn't even be playing football for this, according to somebody.
Well, I mean, some people would argue that if you don't bother to show up for practice at all because you're too busy playing baseball, and then you try to take the job from a promising quarterback who's got another year of eligibility after this, that you should probably
who
go
was
with
that
the guy.
Quarterback? Who was that quarterback, Dan?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He was very tall, though. He's very, very tall.
Did he get paid a lot of money to quarterback for the Bears?
He did.
Okay.
He may be a ginger.
Okay. Was he a certain, was he like maybe a little bit lighter, the skin pigmentation?
I mean, Russell Westbrook's is pretty white. I don't know where you're going with that.
Did he not take it up the butt?
I mean.
No, that's tough. Russell Wilson, I know you're listening. You're a butch. Listen, we know your marriage to Sierra's a sham. We know Future's fucking your girl right now. But it's not really your girl, because, like, you're out pounding ass. We get it.
You're wearing that APA shirt, that very ill-advised APA shirt from 2000.
You know what, Dan? We went long enough here. That was the main topic for our show. I'm really proud of our effort. But let's move on. A few more minutes here to hit on the power.
Mike Glennon. Was the name. I thought neither one of us could remember.
I thought it was Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, no, he went to Carolina.
Where did Trubisky come from?
Trubisky went to UNC.
Oh, that's
right. Okay, and he's, like, significantly younger.
But same thing.
Trubisky's, like, Trubisky just had his rookie season.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The Bears quarterback from North Carolina, that's all my brain. I'm 30, man. You don't... I think you're still in your 20s, right? Like, you don't kind of get...
I am 29 years of age.
Yeah, you don't kind of get... When you get to your 30s, your brain doesn't... You'll understand when you get as old.
Yeah, my back pain says I already understand the legs.
Damn, you can't see me right now, but sunshine, you don't even know back pain.
I have terrible knees.
Every day in my life, I wish I was an opioid. Not for the sweet high, just not the... <hurt. laughs>
I'm just saying, if you saw how I walk at the end of a day, you would go, that's a 90 who shuffles.
Dan, I would like walk. Slippers. I crawl. I'm like DDP and Uncensored 1998. I crawl everywhere. I constantly have tape around my ribs for no reason.
when I help somebody move, I wear like 7 back braces. I'm back brace dad. that everybody made fun of when you were like in high school and you'd see like, some, like, two dads getting ready to play racquetball or whatever in, like, the school facilities. And then they're both wearing, like, 17 braces on them. They both got, like, elbow pads, knee pads, back brace. And you're like, what a fucking dorko. And then, you know, now that's me.
Well, Dan, I've got...
I wear knee braces to go to work. That's what I do.
I've got a... Before we close
I look
out
like
here.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, but fat.
Why are you wearing short shorts everywhere?
Obviously. I gotta look sexy.
Before we close out here, I'm talking about some stories. Sports, real life sports stories.
Oh, I thought you were talking about soap operas. My bad.
Yeah, we're gonna talk some sports stories. The first thing I want to talk about, have you seen the picture of Zach Braff?
Wait, what?
This is not a sports story. Have you seen the picture of our boy from Scrubs, Zach Braff, is playing Shazam in a film? Have you not seen the picture?
You just saying like a bunch of words at me that don't make any sense.
Do you know who Shazam is?
Oh, God, I love Shazam. Actually, he's Captain Marvel. Don't let fucking Marvel trick you into thinking otherwise.
All right. I can't believe you didn't see this picture earlier.
I can't believe, like, how is he going to play, like, the whole thing with Captain Marvel is that he's a big fucking,
check your Twitter.
Muscle boy.
Check your Twitter.
Like, big muscles. Like,
check your Twitter right now. Check your message.
That's not Zach Braff.
That is Zach.
Zach
Braff.
Levi, you idiot.
Oh, who's that? Oh, that's from Chuck. I'm confusing Chuck. I'm sorry. I'm confusing my mid-aught NBC shows. Chuck. They were both on NBC, and they both are Jewish. So sorry, Nance.
Scrubs was on like a solid like 5 years before.
So was, but like they were both
Scrubs
mid-aught
was finishing. Shows. Chuck was Scrubs is not mid-aught. Scrubs is early on.
Okay, Dan, it's not. Both their names are Zach. Both of them are Jewish. Both have black hair. Is that really that hard to...
I wouldn't say Zach Braff has black hair.
Okay, they both have darker hair.
Zach Braff is the guy who always wants you to listen to the Shins and is always, like, holding his earbuds up to you so you can listen to the Shins with him.
He also is the guy who just retweeted Joe Walsh.
Well, because Joe Walsh said our president made bad comments about you're my president.
Okay, but I do want to apologize for mixing up Zach Braff and Zachary Levi.
It is still weird that it's Zach Levi. I don't want to undersell.
Okay, I want you to look at this picture, Dan. That's who's playing your boy.
Well, the thing about... Okay, here's the secret history of Captain Marvel. In the 1950s and the late 40s, he was the most popular comic book character in America. He was published by, I believe it was called Fawcett Comics, I believe.
So not by Marvel or DC.
No, Marvel did not exist yet. Marvel had a different name. Marvel, I don't think, got renamed until, like, 1962 or something. But it was basically this company that all they did was Captain Marvel, and then Captain Marvel spinoffs. Like, there was Little Marvel, there was Mrs. Marvel, there was, you know, there was like a whole Marvel fam.
Yeah.
And the point of this character is that he's like a 9-year-old orphan boy who gets chosen by, I think, Merlin to be given the powers of Shazam, where he would say this magic word and then it would turn him into this big hulking superhero. And he was kind of a ripoff of Superman, but with a twist that, like, you know, you've got this twist in there that it's a little boy. So it's like, it's a combination of like the Robin thing where like Robin as a character was created so that little boys could like dream of hanging out with Batman.
Yeah.
This was like, you could be Superman. All you got to do is find a wizard.
But no, but it's like you're Superman, but like you have the brain of literally like 7 years.
Well, no, like in the comic book, no. Like when he hits Shazam, he becomes brilliant. Man, he becomes a genius.
I'm looking at the picture and they're clearly playing Shazam off as a child.
Well, yeah, that's how. Okay, so here's what ended up happening. DC sued Fawcett, saying that Captain Marvel was too much like Superman. They won the lawsuit.
But doesn't DC have a Captain Marvel?
Let me get there. DC won the lawsuit and they got the character in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Fawcett went out of business and then DC just put him on the shelf out of spite for the fact that, you know, they thought he was an inferior clone of Superman who got more popular. And that made them mad that he was more popular than Superman. So they intentionally like shit all over the character. And then they even let the copyright lapse on the name, which by that point, I believe that was in the 70s, Marvel then gobbled up that name and quickly created this shitty character just so that they could have the name Captain Marvel, which is now, I think eventually they turned it into a female hero that like comic book people will tell you is pretty cool. But when they created that character, it was literally just so they could take the IP because the copyrights had, and it was originally just this very, very shitty thrown together character.
Okay.
Anyway, after they lost the name Captain America, Captain Marvel, suddenly DC started caring about the character. They started putting him in things because it's like, well, shit. Like now they're using a Captain Marvel. We've got to start using this character again. And they mostly referred to him as Shazam. Which used to be the phrase that the little boy would shout turned him into Captain.
I think you've seen like any like if you grew up watching Justice, you kind of know this. Like little kid yells Shazam. In some situations though, it's like five little kids yell. They come together, one giant man, right?
I mean they've monkeyed around with it, but
okay, but like generally,
but
it's like
one of the things DC has done is that like they make him like a basically like he's big. You know, the Tom Hanks movie, where he's, like, a little boy's mind in, like, this hulking Superman body.
Yeah, which, like,
what he was in the 40s and 50s.
But is a more interesting character, right? Because it is, like, well, what if you were 4 years old, but, like, you could literally kick anyone? What would you do? Is that not fair to say? Okay.
Fair enough. And, like, his big villain is Black Adam, who was an Egyptian who was chosen to have the same powers as him, but then...
Was that who The Rock was supposed to be?
That
originally.
Is who The Rock will be playing.
Oh, The Rock will be in this film?
I think he's going to play the villain in this movie, and then he's going to have... See, the thing about Black Adam is that he's usually an anti... Like, Black Adam, for most of his history, has been, like, an anti-hero. But, like, he always starts off as a villain when you tell his story.
Okay, and then like, he was, like, a guy who was pissed off. So, to equate it back to football, he's a guy who, like, maybe didn't get first string right away... Went to the rival team, but became
well. Instead of using his powers that he was given to like protect the innocent, he used them to become like a pharaoh.
Okay, but like he becomes a person
eventually. Okay. Yeah,
that's so. Dan, can you explain to me though why is The Rock just playing the black Green Lantern guy? Does that make the most sense?
Because for some reason DC has decided that they want to stick with this character that nobody in like the real world. Gives a shit about
understands or cares about it all
instead of just using the one that every like an entire generation got to know and love on a cartoon, one of the most popular
Green
Lantern has ever been involved in.
And you can break away from the failed franchise by just going, like, oh, it's a black guy, it's different. Like, that's literally all you have to do if you're it's Jon Stewart instead of Ryan.
And because it's Green Lantern and there's a whole corpse of them, like, there's a whole crew of them, it's not like you're saying that guy doesn't exist,
yeah, you can, you know. Well,
it's just like, well, this is the other
watch,
one on Earth.
If you watch Deadpool 2, he doesn't. That was one of the teaser endings for Deadpool 2. Deadpool goes back in time and kills Ryan Reynolds before he can star in Green Lantern.
That's very funny.
So in the Fox MCU, the Green Lantern movie does not exist.
That's a good move, because that movie was pretty shitty. Hal Jordan is a shitty character.
And Dan, I'm a guy who can watch a lot of bad movies. I couldn't. I think that and Suicide Squad were like the only comic movies I couldn't like make it 10 minutes.
Suicide Squad, I did make it the whole way because I do love Suicide Squad so much, and I wanted to will it into being okay. Like,
you wanted to force it. You wanted to Willow it, or Will Smith it.
Yeah, I wanted to Will Smith it into being a good movie, and I couldn't. Yeah. But I tried so hard.
Well, it does have, like, so good actors. That's the issue with Suicide Squad. Like, it does have good actors in it.
But they're all in the wrong roles.
Yes. Like, it's like, why is Will Smith
shouldn't have been Deadshot. He should have been Captain Flag.
He should have been Killer Croc. the Joker, the Enchantress should have been in the movie.
What's his face can't act, so he shouldn't be in anything.
Yeah, Jared Leto should exist. He should have been shot. Who's Jared Leto? Jared Leto's, that's Jared Leto's son.
Right, he's already being replaced as the Joker.
Well, no, like, I heard, though, they're going to exist in the same universe.
Yeah, if this Joker movie does well, then you'll never see Jared Leto again.
I heard, though, Jared Leto will maybe come back as, like, Todd Phillips.
If this Joker, this DC thing is so haphazard and poorly managed, that if this Joker movie's a hit, that guy, like, Joaquin Phoenix will just be the Joker.
Yeah. Well, Jared Leto's supposed to be in what, though, he's got to sign up to a big role in a comic movie, right? Like Spider-Man as a vampire or something?
The living vampire.
Yeah, there you go. If you're a vampire,
he gets some kind of like science disease that basically makes him everything like a vampire.
Okay, but if you're a fan of a guy who like sends like semen-filled condoms to his coworkers, you're going to love Mysterion or whatever the fuck Jared Leto is supposed to be.
Morbius, the living vampire.
In the second dumbest cinematic universe, right behind the monster. Which, actually, Dan, I really wanted that monster's cinematic universe.
It was such a bad idea.
But God, you wanted to see it, like, play.
I did like the Dracula movie. I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody thinks. I did like it.
You know what? I'm sorry, but, like, I think that's a cool concept. I think, like, you take all these people from, like, 1800s and they come together, like the 1800s literature, and they come together and they fight. Like, that's kind of cool, but why not go a step further, Dan? Why not do, like, where's Huck Finn?
Maybe Can I interest you in watching any B-movie from the 1940s, then? If this is your idea of a good movie?
Huck Finn and, like Atticus Finch team up.
Again, have you heard of Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Because you're basically describing it.
I do understand. I understand that exists. That's a property. It was a graphic novel. It was a thing that happened. I want to see it happen now in real life. Because that's what the Universal Cinematic Universe was supposed to be right now. It was what? Frankenstein, Dracula.
Well, the big ones are Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Mummy.
And those the Invisible the Man. Ones. How dare you?
And the Invisible Man, yeah, which is a better book than all of those. Well, the Invisible Mummy, Man though, is the best book of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, the Mummy was like, what, the only one that got made from the franchise that was part of it?
They were making a Dracula movie, and then they added like a scene at the end of it to tie it in. It was like wasn't they had the idea.
Man? Wasn't there a Wolfman movie with like?
They didn't actually put it out. They did. Benicio del Toro did do that.
But that was supposed to be part of the universe, right? Like it was.
I believe so.
God, that would have been awful.
They never got around to the Frankenstein.
Who would have played Frankenstein?
They had already done that shitty I, Frankenstein movie. Where it was like Frankenstein in the modern world fighting things, like Hellboy. Yeah. Starring the guy from, the guy who played Two-Face.
Yeah. You know what's funny about all, like if Universal just like would have just bought like the Castlevania franchise rights?
They probably would have made more money than.
Yeah,
trying to like money. Make cash off of 70-year-old properties.
Yeah, because like the Castlevania like anime on Netflix is done decently well. Like I don't know about like the number because you don't know about Netflix stuff with that stuff. But like when I talk to people who, and I think a lot of people our age played Castlevania as kids, know about that property. They probably just could have bought that, and then like then you've got like three movies about like trying to kill Dracula.
I would just say Dracula is way more interesting than all those. But what killed them trying to do another Dracula movie is by the time they did it, like Twilight had vampired people out.
Yeah, like,
people
well, like, were, but, like it didn't. Like,
it was played out.
Well, like Van Helsing was the thing. By that point, right? Too like
Van Helsing killing Dracula way before the Twilight movies.
Okay. Well, Dan, I saw And before we end the show, I want to get into, have you seen Ant-Man 2?
I have. I loved it.
Okay, let's you know what, this will be the juice of the show right here. Let's review.
Spoiler alert.
People die at the end from Thanos. Just spoiler. I really enjoyed Ant-Man 2. I think if you don't like Paul Rudd, you're gonna hate this movie. Is that fair to say?
I don't know how anybody could hate Paul Rudd, so right? I'm having a difficult time.
But like, if you didn't like Ant-Man 1, you're not gonna.
And no, Ant-Man it was a lot better movie than Ant-Man 1. I would say
it is. Similar. Both don't really have a plot in my opinion.
What do you mean?
What was the plot in Ant-Man 2?
Let's get Mom back.
I'm rolling my eyes.
And then there's this fucking. Like, the whole thing is, like, the sins of Michael, what's-his-face?
Michael Douglas.
The sins of Michael Douglas' past have to be atoned.
But, like, none of that matters. Like, it wasn't, like, it was definitely on, the bottom tier of Marvel, say.
I would not say, I enjoyed it more than most of the standalone Marvels.
I would say it's
Marvels.
Better than, like, Iron Man 3.
It was better than Iron Man 2.
It's better than most Iron Man movies, but like
it was better than Captain America 1. It was better. It was better than Thor 2. It was better than Thor 1.
No, it was better.
It was
than Thor.
Way better Thor than
1.
The Hulk.
Thor 1 was better.
It was better than both.
I would
of them.
Put it on the second or third. Is that fair to say though? In the MCU, it's second or third. It's not up there with.
It did not do good business. So I mean, as far as
but no, in terms of entertainment though, like you wouldn't put it above. Who cares about? Damn, we're not capitalists, first off. Second,
well, I'm just using that as, like, a judge of, like, how people
eat it. I don't give a shit how people. I want to know how we eat it, because we're smarter than
I enjoyed it. If I was to rank MCU standalone
would you put it
movies,
above? Would you put it above Civil War, Infinity War, or maybe Winter Soldier? I think those are the consensus top three.
I never have seen Winter Soldier.
Really?
Still.
Really?
I enjoyed
Winter
it.
Winter Soldier is, like, a very, like, I will say, Winter Soldier is a movie I recommended to my dad. Who, like, doesn't care about comic chicks. And, like, if you kind of like 24, any of, like, Homeland or something, you'll really like Winter Soldier.
See, I don't like those things.
Well, I thought Winter Soldier should have been Avengers. That's kind of how strong I
would say not as good as Civil War, not as good as the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the second Avenger.
Yeah. But you say, like, Ant-Man was, like, a top five Marvel movie.
Not Ant-Man 1.
Ant-Man 2, yeah.
Ant-Man 2.
I'm sorry. Ant-Man the Wolf.
If I was making my personal top five, mm-hmm. and I'm not necessarily putting these in order, I'm just naming them off the top, like the ones I would say are my favorite five. I'd say Guardians 1 and 2. I'd say the first and the last Avengers. I would say Doctor Strange. And then I would say
really?
Man and the Wasp.
You think Doctor Strange is a good movie?
I loved it.
This
yeah,
is
I
the show
it.
Now. Fuck it. This is our
I went,
show.
I went and saw that three times in the theaters.
I thought Doctor Strange was one of the worst Marvel movies.
I absolutely adore it.
I tried to rewatch it on Netflix. I thought it was one of the...
I refused to watch it on Netflix. I watched it on the big screen.
No,
I
watched
IMAX.
It on the big screen. I will say, Dan, I watched that movie the night before the 2016 election, and I had a guy that laughed at every bad Marvel joke that probably ruined the movie for me. Tried to rewatch it on Netflix. I didn't finish it. I don't think
I would enjoy it on Netflix, because part of why I loved it was the visual.
No, and the visuals were really cool, but like I'm not gonna credit that with being good. I think that's a better experience. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I enjoyed that movie sitting in a theater
that more,
watching
like,
that
you
movie
haven't
more
seen,
than almost any of them.
You enjoyed that more than Civil War?
Sitting in the theater watching it, yeah.
Or Homecoming?
Yeah. Spider-Man I have a hard time with because they've rebooted it so many times. So
okay,
I just,
but like no one watched.
I'm not willing to
no
get
one
my
watched heart. Dan first, no one watched the James Garfield was it James Garfield? Is that right? Because I thought it was
Andrew Garfield.
Okay. It was like a
James Garfield was like our 18th president was murdered by a crazy person who thought he was going to be ambassador to France.
Was that the anarchist that murdered a president?
No, the anarchist was the one who killed the guy before Teddy Roosevelt,
Polk.
William McKinley.
Was that Polk? Oh, William McKinley.
No. Yeah.
Was that the Ponzi scheme guy?
Huh?
Wasn't the Ponzi scheme guy involved in a presidential assassination, or am I crazy?
No, you're thinking of Charles Guiteau is the one who killed James Garfield.
That's
and
right.
he was a crazy person. Who
but
thought,
he got screwed by the Ponzi guy.
No, he was long, like Ponzi
there
was operating
no,
in like
okay,
the 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, this happened in like 18.
That's all the same. Like anything before like 1950 is.
He used to write letters to officials like like sending them speeches, which all he would do is take,
like Grandpa Simpson, like
he would take printed out speeches and then write in the margins like corrections and then send them in and go, here's the speech I've just written for you.
So it's like a sane person.
Yeah, he was definitely very sane.
Yeah, very sane.
And when James Garfield got elected, he thought he had been the reason because he sent him so many good speeches.
But then,
and so he demanded that he be given the ambassadorship to France.
More importantly, you think Spider-Man Homecoming isn't as good as Doctor Strange?
I like Doctor Strange more. And in many cases, it's because I've seen so many fucking Spider-Man movies.
Okay.
I've never thought I'd see a Doctor Strange movie. We've never seen a Spider-Man movie like that. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was the most I've enjoyed a Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2.
I would put Doctor Strange up there with one of the worst movies I've ever seen in cinema. Right behind G.I. Joe 2 and the John Heder baseball movie.
I really enjoyed it. I like magic, for one. Like, you know, my favorite comic books. My favorite comic books of all time is The Sandman, who I'm just sure I'm never going to get that movie.
But you got the TV
show. I didn't get a TV show either. That's a Constantine who got a TV show.
No, but like Sandman's a TV show, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's not. It was Constantine that got a TV show.
Well, no, you've got a wrestler.
Yeah, I've got, and Raven used to wear Sandman t-shirts, as a shout out to the wrestler Sandman when he was in WCW. He was on the cover of WCW Revenge wearing a Sandman t-shirt. So that's. But yeah, that's my favorite comic book series of all time, and it's all full of magic. And the Trench Coat Brigade, I'm a huge fan of that.
Well, we all have our things, like, Dan, because like, I'm a big fan of the 80s run question, so I get it.
I'm a huge fan of the DC character Fate, and like Doctor Strange and Fate are kind of like, you know, the rip-offs of each other. I don't know which one was first.
Well, Dr. Fate, he was the guy with, like, the Prince symbol in the Justice League, right?
It's called an Unk, but sure.
Okay, it was anyone who's, like, ever had sex. It's called the
Prince. I don't think it's the same symbol. I'm pretty sure the Prince symbol is, like, a female symbol and a male symbol, like, mixed up.
Most people would think it was.
I'm pretty sure that people would see an Ankh and go, "Oh, that's what every goth woman wore a necklace."
Okay,
like,
but like 1940
and like 1993.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're wrong, but I'm gonna agree. Because we gotta wrap. So,
but like there's a great tradition, and particularly on the DC side more than the Marvel side, of like these magic based characters, and I've just never thought any.
Well,
of them
DC
get a movie.
Was like, to be fair, to in the DC universe, magic was a thing that was like. Oh, Superman's a badass, but it was like that kind of
kryptonite,
right?
A lot more of it came in because DC had all these like great British comic writers who were like
who believed in magic.
Who all are like war? Like Alan Moore's like he's a warlock.
Well,
he lives in like a giant mansion with like four different women.
Well, and in the UK, magic is real, according to like Harry Potter and various.
I think there's just like a thing where like. English writers are a lot more interested in magic as a subject.
I want to break this down into like maybe like a little more serious about that. Like in American writing, though, we tend to see like Christianity, like the savior complex, and most of our American movies tends to be like one man, whether it's The Matrix, Superman, Rambo, whatever. Is that fair to say? Like we tend to have this kind of Christian perspective on our entertainment, right?
Sure.
Maybe over in England, because of Merlin and the bullshit with King Arthur, magic is like a little more.
And they're also like, English people, there's like an obsession with fairies, especially in like the turn of the 20th century. Like there's things in the forest that
what's
we
the
don't,
greatest English
you know,
work ever, Dan? The Christmas, it's all about fairies and spirits and all that kind of stuff.
I wouldn't say that's the best thing ever produced by English writers.
Well, right behind, what's the really racist Shakespeare? Where he, like, Othello? Cuts the Jewish person? Where the Jewish man, like,
the Merchant of Venice?
Nah, yes. That's the great English work. Where
I would
like,
say
the Jewish man demands a literal 10 pound of flesh.
I would say the best thing Shakespeare wrote was probably Richard III, but okay, we can agree to disagree.
Dan, the Merchant of Venice is I talked my teacher into making us add that to our literature class in high school. It's my claim to fame on that book. Because we had such a fun time doing Hamilton.
You mean Hamlet?
Instead of like, no, not Hamilton. instead of Hamlet.
Yo, white boy raps are coming.
Yeah, we invented it like 10 years before. No, but with Hamlet, I convinced our teacher, I was like, because our teacher was a first-year teacher, so like I'm a senior, so like, of course. I'm
easily suggestible.
Yeah,
easily
like, suggestible. Giant dumbass. He played soccer, to tell you enough about him. But like, we had such a fun time doing Hamlet, though, because like, instead of reading it, he would let us act it out in class.
Which is, like, you mean like a play? You know,
yeah,
like what it
how
is?
How supposed to enjoy it. Because, like, that's, like, the weird genius, I guess, of, like, senior year me was, like, oh, let's fuck with this guy by doing things right.
He won't have an answer for this.
We did Hamlet as a play in class, had a lot of fun with it. So I convinced him, let's do another Shakespeare. So we did Merchant of Venice. And we're, like, halfway through, and I'm, like, this is, like, kind of anti-Semitic. This Jewish man is not very nice to this nice working class man. And it's
kind of anti-Semitic, huh?
A little. I think Shakespeare might have been not on the level.
Well, there weren't a whole lot of Jews in England because in the 1200s,
because they did things right, Dan.
Edward the first he made them wear these yellow stars, which was a really novel concept. I wonder if anybody ripped that off.
I don't think that.
And then he expelled them all from England, and they were supposed to just be deported, but instead they
ended up in Hollywood.
They put them on boats and, you know, left them on sandbars in the channel when the tide was coming.
And is that, Dan, how we got some?
Well, they left them on sandbars when the tide was out and then wouldn't let them back on the boats. They all drowned. Edward the First killed, I think, like over 20,000 Jews. And there weren't a whole lot of Jews in England. They were mostly all in London, but, you know, he pretty much wiped out the entire Jewish population.
Well, you know what? Good for him. That's why England's not known for their comedy. Folks, next week, Dan, are we ready to start thinking seriously about college? As we record, we are 53 days away from the start of college football season. Maybe it's 43. I may have that wrong. Dan, are we ready to start thinking seriously about college football?
It's almost preview time.
That's what I'm saying. Are you ready to do some previews?
Oh, it's almost time.
Because we don't have a guest scheduled, but you don't fuck it. Next week, let's do it. SEC preview, because it's kind of the least interesting conference this year.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be Alabama.
Yeah, we don't kind of need a guest this year for this one, I think. I think, like, you and me can probably handle. It's probably, like, Georgia, Florida, or Alabama, probably, or LSU out of nowhere.
I think you're being very kind to Florida. Putting them in that area.
Well, I think that's more like being the, if you know.
Yeah, I think Florida's at least 2 years away.
No,
like, they've
well,
got
I
major
just,
roster
I think Georgia
problems.
Lost a lot more than people realize. Like, I saw the odds today, and I was just like,
yeah, but Florida's roster's so short.
Georgia lost a lot.
Yeah, but like they've recruited well.
They lost
well.
Two of the like they lost literally two of the best running backs.
Yeah, and Florida's like existing roster is terrible.
But they have a good
like team. Even if you lose
but,
a
like,
lot,
that
if
coach,
you, if your opponent. Has nothing.
Would you not say that roster is better than like the Mississippi State team?
I don't think it's as good as some of his best Mississippi. I think the team he's leaving this year, not like long term, the team he's leaving is a better team talent wise than the team he's taking over.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think like the East is so much worse than people. Like I think a three to four loss team will win that, and we'll get into this.
Means it'll be South Carolina. Spoiler alert.
I think like South Carolina or Florida could win.
Anytime of team
and you
is
know what,
completely
though,
disgusting and has no business being in Atlanta is going to win a division, just bank on it being Will Muschamp.
But you know what? It could low-key. This is a program we haven't talked about in probably like a year. I feel like maybe Tennessee.
No.
I don't think the East is very good.
They hired a bad coach and they had a bad team before they hired him.
But no, they have a bad team. The coach they hired is still a step above.
I'm not sure he is. That's the bad thing.
Well, that's how bad. I don't know because I haven't heard the stories coming up.
It's a new sheriff. Like you know, people.
Well, we'll argue about this next week. But like, I think when you look at the East, I think it's definitely a three-team race. I think Georgia's the lead in the East, but I think Florida and South Carolina are at the hills. We're at the tips, the hills, whatever you want to call it, the shoelaces. And I think, like, Tennessee could sneak in. If it's, like, a year where, like, Georgia's going to blow it to South Carolina, Florida, Auburn, and let's say they lose randomly to, like, Vanderbilt, This could be a year where, like, a random team could sneak in and lose to Alabama, like, 58-0.
Well, let's go Derek Dooley in Missouri. But we'll save that for next
week. Yeah, but I think next week, Dan, let's agree the least important preview, the one we have to scrap on, will be the SEC next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, and, like, I think I'll still pick Alabama to go, because I think Tua is probably the best quarterback in the nation who's as young as he is, but we can talk about that next week. But I think it's time to hop on the SEC previews. Stop talking comic books. Stop talking. Let's talk college football.
Let's get down to business.
Yeah, let's be men. Let's put our dicks in the vaginas. Is what I'm saying.
But what if it's Doctor Strange's vagina and it's a magic vagina?
He could have both. So what if it's Spider-Man's vagina? How's the spider reproduce? I don't know.
Usually the way, like, the male meets with the female. And then the female eats him.
Well, no. Usually. Well, then Spider-Man is St. Clown Posse. Magnets, how do they work?
Good point. And on that note.
And on that note, let's bring in Jessica Simpson's. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Jessica Simpson? Is she alive?
Have you not been around? Have you not seen the West Destiny? Our boy, Wes Lilliman, has, like, kind of re-brought back the TRL revival.
I have not seen that.
Oh, on our native message board, maybe? Maybe check that out. Yeah, well, we're kind of into, like, Jessica Simpson and right. So
it's literally 2003 all over again.
Yeah, so we're gonna close out with Jason playing our song. But Dan, what is your number one TRL song from kind of our era?
Okay, I don't necessarily like this song.
What's the song you liked? Like, what's the, like, in your heart you would listen to right now and, like, maybe not feel comfortable about in front of other people, but you personally, in your heart, that you like?
See, at that point in my life, I wouldn't listen to anything that was on TV. I was in that douchebag.
You weren't like a Marshall Mathers?
No, at that point in my life, I was all about flogging. Okay, that was all I listened to.
Pick a random. Okay, we'll just.
But if you asked me to name, like, the quintessential TRL song, it is that, it's that song, the Abercrombie and Fitch song. What was that song?
LFO?
LFO, yeah. That is TRL to me. That is, if you ask me to name a song from TRL, that's the one I think of. I mean, you can laugh until your dick falls off, but that's just the way it is.
Well, Dan, sounds like somebody didn't eat cable. But.
I'm telling you, all I was listening, me and my friends who all maybe didn't smell so great and wore hoodies even in the summer would sit around and we would listen to Swagger over and over again.
If you're older, you would have known about Fall Out
Boy. Known about who?
Fall Out Boy.
Oh, God. No, I knew about them. I did. That was not going to be my scene, bro.
I kind of hit an emo phase. I've kind of revisited emo, Dan, recently before we close out the show. So, little Outcast as we close out here.
Yeah.
But kind of like re-hit emo, I kind of get it now. It's like, well, we did all watch 9/11. I kind of get, like, why we listen to that music.
I'm just going to say, pick up Drunken Lullaby. It's a good album.
Let's play out with this one, Dan.
Okay, we can only play so many seconds of that before we're over fair use.
It's the remix, so no one's going to know this one.
Remix!
Before we get out of here, I'm still Jenny from the block. You're Dan Ford. Music, Jason.
Fuck Australia. Fuck the Queen.
Oh, quick break in really quick. Fuck the Queen, and you know what? Fuck Donald Trump. Bless Donald Trump for fucking the Queen.
Really funny how he bumped into her.
That was the coolest thing he's ever done.
This is all worth it just for that. No, yeah. It isn't. But still.
This was a power hour plus 20 minutes. So were we both kind of drunk? Yes. Was it better than us on antidepressants? Probably.
Absolutely.
So, what does that tell you about America? All right.
It tells me that it's time to play the music.